that Moshe told the Klal Yisrael that you know, we can't get all these things in this name after Hamori, including Har Hermon.
Yeah.
And it says Har Hermon, the Amorim call it Sneer. The Amorim call it Sneer, and the Sidonim call it Sirion. And Rashi brings that in the mountain in the parish of Ashana that's called Sion, it's also the same mountain, according to this tree. And that there's four different names for the same mountain, and the different country is named a different thing. So, then Rashi says, what does Sneer mean? He says, Sneer is the same word that survived from the Lachic Canali into modern German to mean Schnee, to say Schnee, which means snow. And of course, we know that it also survives into English as snow. So that the same exact sound lasted through all these cultures and it existed. Now, the truth is that you have to know what's the rule in the Torah. When does the Torah reproduce the sound, and when does the Torah give you a translation? There's all these names in the Torah that are obviously translated. Like, I'm sure the king of Plishtim is not called Avimelech. It might have been some sound, you know, similar to it, that they were doing a play on words, but he was obviously called, in the Plishti language, he's called Avimelech, which we know what it means. Arai, on the other hand, we know that that's the sound. We know historically that that's the sound. Right? And the truth is, the word Parai in Hebrew is a bad word. You know, it's a wild man or something like that. So, or deserves punishment or some kind of word. So it seems like Parai, they reproduced the sound and they gave him a dig. Avimelech, who was the more mechubit person, Hashem spoke to him, and so they translate the name. So it seems that's a sign of kavod, of chesivus. When the Torah translates, it means that it has something to it. When they reproduce the sound, it means it's very crude and we're just going to reproduce the sound. So therefore, I think Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, so what's this idea with the four names? He's saying like this. That really, there's four ways to appreciate the same amount, depending on the level of the development of the culture and the sensitivity to the spiritual life. So the Amorim, who we took it from, they call it Sneer, they call it snow, that's it. They see snow and they call it snow, that's the end. Snow mountain. Alright, so that's very crude, and that's how Hashem took it away from them, because there's no point in them having. But then, the Tzidonim are more distinguished, they call it, so I think that probably the next level is Sion. Sion is the peak. So that they already seem to be translating. See, and it's peak, you know. So they appreciate the fact that the 12 feet is something that's imposing about it. Then the Semitic called Syrian, which is majesty. So that's already majestic. So these are all levels where you start from snow mountain, snowy peak. And you get to peak, which is appreciating it. And then, you know, Pike's peak, but I mean, it's the peak. And then you get to a majestic peak, and then finally Klal Yisrael comes and calls it Chermon, which means Kedusha. So he does that a lot. And I think, and later we say in the Tehillim that Vayikidem Kamei Egel, Levon and Assyrian Kamei Ben Raimah. So he says specifically picks Assyrian, which is the language of the Sidonim, that's the one language below Klal Yisrael, so the highest level among the Goyim, hearing of the Assyrian. So for them to have some madrega of understanding, and then by cholakul amim kovet in the Beit Hamikdash, it's the Beit Tefillah chol amim. But certain amim that have a chashivas, they're able to participate. So that on the level of Syrian, they can be part of the rikud and have some the hair in the cover of the Beit Hamikdash.